Good afternoon, Kim. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, you breed budgies. Got to know from the start, Troy, how did you get into it?
It's a funny story, really. I caught a budgie in my uncle's market garden and brought it home, put it into a cage, and I think I was about age 10 at that time, and called it Stefan, happily named it after my best friend at the time,
Oh.
and took it to a pet shop, and Stefan turned out to be Stephanie. So
Really?
we
How do you tell before you go on any further? How do you tell that Stefan's a Stephanie or Stephanie's a Stefan?
so in most budgies above the beak, they have what we call a cere, which is where their nostrils are. And on 90% of the varieties, the female is brown above the cere and the male is blue. There are a couple of exceptions, recessive pieds and lutinos. The male actually has like a flesh-coloured cere, but for the better part, all of the females have a brown cere. So I didn't know that myself at the time when I caught it. So
So once you took it to this pet shop and you found out that Stefan was a Stephanie, take up the story from there.
kept it for a number of years, really enjoyed having the budgie. It was a really low maintenance, easy to care for pet that you could interact with. And unfortunately, after a period of time, it passed away. So I went to the pet shop again, but this time I actually bought a male and called it Stefan. So we eventually did get a Stefan, and we caught another bird out in the market garden, and this one was a white one, and my father tried to tell me that it was this overgrown canary because it was white, but it turned out to be an albino budgerigar.
Oh.
And it had red eyes, and it was much bigger than Stefan that we bought, and we put the two of them in a cage, and they fell in love instantly. And they were getting along great guns, and obviously back then we didn't have the internet. So off to the local library to find out about these birds and how they breed, and put a little nest box in the cage. And I thought, oh, here we go, and nothing happened. And I thought, oh, must be doing something wrong. So trundled back to the library and found out that budgies are gregarious, so they breed around other birds.
Oh,
So decided to go to the pet shop, bought a couple more pairs,
this pet
and
shop
put
is
them
loving
down. And
you.
my journey started there. So
Incredible. And
yeah,
can I
so
ask if there is a particular attraction to market gardens if you picked up your first two budgies from there?
I think budgies obviously just like the appeal of fresh grown vegetables. So you'll find if you have some, they love mint, they love rosemary, they love fennel, they love a bunch of different things. So I think seeing this huge, 800 square meter block full of attractive native vegetables, they are into it.
Yeah, totally. Oh, look, I'm with them. So it took off from there. How many do you have now?
Look, honestly, probably about 400,
Whoa.
a few, a lot more than most, but absolutely love them. I think they're animated, cheerful little creatures, and there's probably nothing more therapeutic than getting to care for an animal. So I've got a few of them.
Yeah, does that become stressful rather than therapeutic?
No, not at all. So I really enjoy it. It's great.
Well, I wanted to ask one of the reasons why they've made the top list of the world's most popular pets, the top three list of world's most popular pets, is because of the current cost of living. So they're experiencing a surge in popularity. Are they fairly cheap to keep, if you pardon the pun there? That was pretty good, actually. I didn't even plan that. Cheap.
That was excellent.
Thank you.
They most definitely are. When you've got a budgie, you can bring it out and put it back as often as you want to. So quite often people will fly them around their house. When they do, make sure to turn off the ceiling fans.
Oh.
That's never a good thing. But you can bring them out of a cage. They're really easy to tame. They're really easy to get to talk as well. So if you've only got the one of them, you'll find that they do repeat phrases and things like that quite easily. If you have more than one, you'll find they get into the budgie chatter and don't particularly want to learn to talk, but they are really easy to train. So, believe it or not, back in the 50s, there was actually a budgie that recorded an album on Abbey Road in the UK. So it spoke that many words.
A
So,
budgie, I'm writing this down. A budgie recorded an album on Abbey Road.
indeed.
That's
So there's a
incredible.
lady here in Adelaide who I've met who has a budgie that speaks English and Japanese. So,
Speaks Japanese.
as well, yes, far better than me. I've got one language down pat, that's it.
So, look, I mentioned that we'd reached out to the Northern Tasmanian Budgerigar Society. There's a Devonport one as well on the northwest coast. There's also one in the south of Tassie, if you're familiar with the state. And then there is a Facebook page. So there seems to be a whole lot of budgie fanciers right around Australia.
Believe it or not, the national titles for budgerigars are being held in Tasmania next year.
Oh, what a scoop that is. And where...
So, yes. I'm not sure yet where they've decided to actually hold it, but the Budgerigar Council of Tasmania is running the event. So we're all coming down to Tasmania next year. It'll be the last weekend in May.
Oh, fantastic.
Very exciting.
And so, you've got four, I mean, do you bring, yeah, what happens? You've got 400 birds. Are you bringing some of your birds? What's the story?
So the way that it works, it's fascinating. So with budgies on the exhibition side, when it comes to May, we have our shows, and what happens is you take your birds to a club show, and they have 28 different recognised varieties or classes that they take away, and what happens is each club picks their three best birds from that variety, and then they actually go to the state titles in all of the clubs. So in Tasmania, that would be the three clubs get together, and they'll bring all of their three budgies, and they'll pick the best three from each of those classes to then go to the nationals. So last year, the nationals were in Victoria. The year before, we hosted them here in South Australia, down at Victor Harbour. And you'll get these birds flying in from all over the country.
Wow.
The team comes in and there's a dedicated group of carers. So there'll be generally three to four people who have responsibility for looking after those and preparing them for the show. And believe it or not, there's a Hall of Fame.
Oh, so there's
if
not.
You can get enough awards at a national level, I think it's eight that you need to get in. You end up in the Hall of Fame.
Are you in the Hall of Fame?
Not yet. I'm three wins in.
Oh,
so
Troy.
I've got five to go.
Well, how exciting. Now, it's always good to give a bit of trash talk. Now, we know dog lovers give cat lovers a bit of trash talk and vice versa. Can you have a crack at the canaries for me? Like, why is a budgie better than a canary?
Look, I don't have a lot of experience with canaries, to be honest. They do sing all day. So
yeah, annoying. There you go. Annoying.
The canaries definitely aren't the Karen of the bird world. I think that title definitely goes to, at the moment, magpies. They're definitely giving birds a bad rap all over the country at the moment.
That's true. That's true. But for you, it's budgies, and I love it. And thanks for the heads up on national, it wasn't international.
No, national titles, yes, down there. And
yeah.
You've actually got, believe it or not, our AMBC president. So the Australian National Budgerigar Council president is actually Tasmanian, Roy Blair.
Oh, well, they must be deep in, I don't know, budgie seed, because they were very hard to get hold of today. I really appreciate your time, Troy, and also your knowledge. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate the chance.